Okay, Pat, the Timberwolves became the first team in NBA history last night to blow two double-digit fourth-quarter leads in the same series. Your thoughts? All right, Kat.
Oh, boy. From the cat hat to that.
All right, Kat.
That's my thought. You know what? When he did that, I said, you've played great. You're stupid. You're stupid. And I write that thought, they could kick this game away because this guy's stupid. What are you doing that for? You want to make them mad? Because they, you know, they're hard-nosed people, and you can't rebound. You can't keep them off the offensive board. So that was stupid, Cat. But as far as stupid goes, you weren't even in the top three for that team. Pat Bev. Oh, let's see. I'm 27 feet away. I can't make a free throw. Let me cast one from out here. That guy is the most overrated phony we've ever had.
No.
He's a good defensive player. The rest of it sucks. He threw away the ball 5 times in the fourth quarter. He's a clown on the offensive end. Plus, when you throw him the ball, it just sticks. He goes like this for like 12 seconds. What do you think they're going to do with these wonderful fakes of yours? They're just going to fall down and let you drive by you. And by the way, when he drives to the basket, he never scores. He never scores. He does not shoot at the basket when he drives in traffic. He throws it in the general direction. He just tosses it up there and prays that it might bounce around and go in. He does well defensively. I'll say that. He's made life difficult for Morant. But on the offensive end, he's terrible. He's terrible. And he stops the ball. But he wasn't the worst guard on the court. That was D-Lo. Bring back Wiggy. This guy sucks. That's my opinion.
This, I think what you just did there, like I did the same thing to my wife after the game and Vetland were over. That was just me for like a half hour. And she's like, just shut up. Let's go to bed. This is why are you ranting about this? Anthony Edwards. And I love me some Ant. He's my guy. And I think he's destined for superstardom. And he hits that three in the corner. My God, what a shot. Why are you gambling with 3 seconds to go? If he stays in front of Ja Morant.
Yeah.
Ja probably shoots a fadeaway jump shot, clanks it, and they go to overtime, right? When you gamble, it's over.
There was a quote in the paper today from him saying, I thought right away, I'm going to try for this steal when they throw it.
Before the inbound even,
I'm going to try for this steal. Why? You know, why? I don't know. It's pretty amazing that they have looked – for the most part, to be a better team, but they're still going to get beat. You know, they're not going to win. What are the 37-1, by the way, is the what? The seven seeds are only 37-1 and 1-37 in seven games since they went to 7 games.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're being ridiculed nationally again for, I saw who made the comparison to the Jailblazers. Who always?
I didn't see that one.
That they kicked away. You know, they had all that great talent, and they urinated on themselves in all those playoff series. And that these guys could be starting that kind of a dynasty. Of defeat, I don't think so, because I think what we're seeing now and what the team will look like in a year or two aren't going to be the same. So not like that Portland team stayed together and kept losing all the time.
The good news is we can't blame Cat today.
No.
That's the only good news.
Yeah, he was their best player. And people are saying, well, why wasn't he on the board? They had him running around trying to guard people. They had him guarding on the perimeter and running all over the place. But that Clark by himself had 7 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Seven!
Yeah, well, the tap out, he had the one, the controlled tap out to Ja Morant. And listen, like, I'll live and die with Ja Morant shooting 3-pointers, but he tapped it out to Ja wide open, bang, to cut it to 1. Or no, that was for the lead. think that was for the lead for the first
one point.
Jaws dunk at the end of the third quarter, and then his winning points are going to take him off the hook for being pretty mediocre once again, not taking any three. He has not played well this series, and you're still going to lose to him in six games.
It's amazing. But
even though we all knew they were going to no show in game four, and they didn't, I don't see him winning another game. And I got an idea. When you lead, when you give special defensive attention to Ja, remember that Bane's out there too. Have someone perhaps go stand near him so he can't shoot threes.
Yeah.
And then let somebody else who can't shoot float around. But let Brooks run around because he's certainly not shooting like this Bane kid is. But they, you know, they're doing a great job on Morant, which means he throws the ball to Bane and Bane makes open threes.
So just to recap this series so far, we're five games into the series. The Timberwolves have won two games. And then in two other games, they've had a 26-point lead and an 11-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And they're down going into game six. That's the summary of the series.
And, of course, all of us who were waiting, we got robbed because TNT didn't have an immediate post-game show because they had to go to New Orleans. So we didn't get to hear the ridicule. You had to stay up till halftime of the second game if you wanted to hear the ridicule. But Cat couldn't have been their number one target last night. It had to be somebody else.
Yeah, they were. I caught like the post. I didn't catch the because we were doing Ventline, but they ran the highlights again after everything. The second game was over, and they were. It was mostly just general criticism for how dumb the Timberwolves are, and how like Barkley went back, and he's right. Barkley said when you have big leads like that, you know, when you have a 26-point lead or a 15-point lead or 11-point lead late in the game, you have to do dumb things to lose the lead.
Yes,
and then you watch the Wolves' offense, which they're the highest scoring team in the NBA. And it's predicated on ball movement and open three-pointers, right? And then they get into these fourth-quarter grinds. And
they
just
give it to Pat Bev and Pat's
yeah. Well, D'Lo does it, too.
I'm going to fake you out. They're all
he gesticulates a lot. There's a lot of action.
Yeah, a lot of nothing, no movements that go anywhere. Talk about, isn't that the hot term, sticky? That sticks
Pinch
like
– loves the word.
Sticky when it gets to him.
Yes.
I don't like him.
Who we're way ahead here, obviously, because there's still two games left in the series, maybe. But what is if they said, all right, Patrick, not Beverly, Patrick Royce, all right, you're the new you get a month to be the GM when the season's over and you can make realistic moves. Right. We're not talking about like trade for Kevin Durant, but D'Lo has 1 year left in his deal. Is he gone? You know, Pat Bev, you just signed for another year. But what?
Let's face it this way. You have no chance to trade D'Lo. No chance somebody's going to pay him $30 million.
Unless in the NBA, the rebuilding teams will take on expiring contracts. So that's your only.
You have to give him a number one or you got to, you know, do something. They already gave up a number one to get him. I would keep Pat Bev to play defense and tell him, you know, way back in the old days when Bill Musselman was here, and he lost all his talent. His third year, he had a guy named Sweet Pete Gilcutt. And he basically came down and played 4-on-5 offense and had Sweet Pete stand over in a corner someplace and never get the ball. Pat Bev should be our Sweet Pete because he is terrible. He stops the offense. He can't score. He can't shoot. And then when he shot that 27 footer, I said, this guy's an idiot. He's an idiot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
They'll let you have any shot you want because they know you don't make it. So I got a good idea. I'm going to be a hero and throw up this 27 footer. And then the last 30 seconds, D'Lo decided he was going to go and get a basket, not any attention to Cat. I don't know.
What the hell was that shot?
Yeah,
too?
Like when your thought is, no, I'm going to get mine here and be the hero instead of I'm going to get into the offense and get someone, maybe it's me in the end, but someone an open look, that's a problem.
Yeah. It's they're ours. Even when they do something right, it turns out to be wrong. And this is just all the all the people who have this team has driven crazy are now just that have now checked in. I was in two bars last night. The second one I went to, I heard a guy behind me and he said, "I'm a Fairweather fan. This is the second game I've watched all year." I said, "Well, you're not a Fairweather fan when you've only watched two games all year, pal."
Wait, I'm a little worried that
you went to
two bars during a depressing Timberwolves game on the eve of your 41st dry date anniversary. Are we good here? 41
years?
We're good.
We have no problem. That's for sure. One of those was one of these breweries, the High Flyer or something over Head Flyer. Over on East Hennepin, which is, they had a good Wolves crowd in there, but they got dogs. There's dogs.
Dog friendly.
Get them out of here. I don't want dogs in my car.
You like dogs. What do you mean? Dogs are all the rage now. They're cool.
I don't know.
Stella loves sports. Gambles constantly. I can't
As I said today in that column, I like the old bars that had the pool table in the middle where two guys could get drunk and start screaming at each other.
And fights could start. Yeah.
I think John Taffer determined that's a waste of space.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think John Taffer has determined that that's a waste of space and revenue, right?
It probably is. But
screw John Taffer. What is
anyway, it's a different kind of crowd, man. It's like 30-year-old couples who want them to win, but it's not life and death. It's not like a... It's not like a wild crowd that'll be foaming at the mouth that Monday.
And they'll start fights, too.
Yeah. They
the wild crowd will throw down.
They get very upset. I don't know what to say about this, though. How are we going to, assuming they lose Friday, how are we going to reflect on this season?
I wouldn't assume that they lose on Friday. I think this might go seven. This has been such a weird series.
Yeah, that's true. They could, but. Assuming they lose,
it's hard because if you were to say before the season, all right, they're gonna beat the Clippers in a playing game, and then they're gonna take the number two seed to six or seven games, and you don't know how it happened. I think we would all say, okay, and they're gonna win 46 games. But then when you get into the actual series and you see the way that it's played out, and you see that how talented they are compared to Memphis and the 26-point blown lead, it's hard to swallow. The way that they're losing the series, you know
what surprised me? I thought when Jenkins came out and ripped the referees after game four that he was probably setting up a situation that they were going to get, you know, that Cat had three fouls in the first quarter, and it was just a ploy. But they got an even shake from the officials last night too. Although I hear that Jim Pete was blaming the officials for the defeat. I would have to go back and look at the tape and see where that was that they got robbed by the officials.
So blaming the officials for that. Yeah. So Pat, here's my problem. Game three was so disastrous and so bad that I actually had honest to God problems being worked up about last night because game three was so bad. Like it was a disaster last night, but it wasn't the disaster.
Oh, no,
26
no,
and 25. I actually was not as worked up as I desired to be about the blown game last night.
Well, and here's the other thing. You knew the run was coming, right? You knew the run was coming. You knew it was going to end up being close. You just didn't know that they were going to figure out a way to make about three rock-headed plays in the last minute and get beat that way. But you knew, just watching the game, I kept saying Memphis is going to have a chance to win this game at some point. Not necessarily succeed, you're going to have a chance to win a game too. And it was, you know, if you take away game three, it was a hell of a game, right? It was a good game. But now that you got two of them, it's, it's different and it's the Wolves. And who knows what this whole operation is going to look. I got to put it this way. I got less faith in Chris Finch during this series than I did before this series. I mean, I don't think he's been a liability, but I don't think he's been an asset either. I don't think he's out-coached this guy. Now they have done some good things to shut down Morant and pay attention to him. But at crunch time, a couple of times, I have not been impressed.
Yeah. I really like the play he drew up to get Ant the open look in the corner.
Oh, yeah, that was
great. But there's definitely been some, you know, not calling a timeout in game three or even the Clippers game. He didn't call a timeout as they blew a 16-point lead or whatever it was.
That play is what he should have called when he should have called the timeout as they were frittering away the 25-point lead. He should have came up and said, come over here. Let's do something here. But I don't know. It's just, I don't know how many hardcore Timberwolf fans there are in the state. Maybe 20, 200 maybe.
Well, and like you said,
but,
you know.
But to do this, because the crowd you see is much more casual. It's not like fully invested. They want them to win, but they're not like, like the Vikings. But if I was one of the 200 hardcores, I'd move. I'd go to Seattle.
Well, excuse me. Yeah. Can you, by the way, in the last couple minutes here, for those of us who were tied up on Wolves vent line or didn't watch the end of the Twins game last night, can you succinctly explain what the hell happened for the Twins to win that game?
Well, you know how when you're kids and you're, you get to be about 10 or 11, they start having your practice rundowns, right?
Yeah.
You know, and you always, there's a certain point where you have to throw the, when you're chasing a guy back to a base, you have to get rid of the ball with a fair amount of leeway, right? Instead of let him get too close to third base. But the catcher, Eric Haas, who's a hitter, basically, half the time he DHs, just did a little flip. But he flipped her about 40 feet over the third baseman's head, and here came the runs. As Miguel finally gets a hit, and he hadn't been on the bases so long, he just keeps running. It was an Eddie Rosario, just keep running until somebody tags.
So they're down by one. So Larnick, their runners on first and second. Sano hits the line drive to right field if you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And my question is, so it could have been an error, but like the right fielder was going backwards. He should have caught it. It bounced off
his
glove.
It was Grossman.
Robbie Grossman. Yep.
He can't get up
the ball.
So my question is, I get that Larnick in that situation, he's thinking that ball is going to get caught. I need to get to third base. And so I get that he goes back. But the ball goes over the right fielder's head. And then by the time the camera pans back, Larnick's only like halfway to third. Like, what was how many pianos were strapped to his back?
I have no idea. It was chaos. But it's a free win. And meanwhile, the Mighty Whitey's lost again. Eight in a row, I believe, right?
You're right,
eight
Pat.
Fire Tony.
Karma. The karma's all wrong there. Yeah, you hit that one on the head. That's the problem. They've had too much go wrong.
Yeah, they Eloy, but it's a win on a night when nobody was paying any attention to them. But they got this free win, and those are fun.
Pat, if your grandson Luke had participated in a little league game in a rundown play that was done that poorly, you would have come on this show the next day to talk about it and complain about how incompetent that team was. That's how bad that was.
How the 11-year-olds from Eastridge should get their act together.
Yes.
Good. Yeah. It's just baseball is conducive to extremely strange plays. I always love talking to guys who manage a lot in the low minors and some of the stuff they see. And I always remember the one where I can't remember who I was talking to, but it's a fly ball that the guy thinks is going to drop. So he's running from first to third, and the ball gets caught, and he cuts right across the middle of the field to get it back to first base. This is a guy who's playing minor professional ball. And for some reason, the guy who now knows he's out is running back, and they collide in the middle of the infield as this guy's cutting back from third to first, and they run into each other, and they're both laying out in the middle of the infield. That could almost happen on that play yesterday.
Amazing, yep. Well, Pat, I think you're off for the rest of the week, and so
yes, we'll go to Washington D.C. for a family function. So
we'll preview Wolves Warriors with you next week after the Wolves win the next two.
All right. right, well, that would be fun. But man alive, it is a humorous franchise. Let's face it. It's good. You got to have good humor about these guys, right?
Yep.
It started off with a coach who used to taunt Carl Malone, and now we've gotten to hear Mussie. This is a franchise that Mussie should have started.
Yep.
He was perfect. He was crazy, and things have been crazy ever since.
Yep. All right, Pat, enjoy your weekend.
Yes.
You're Royce.
All right, let's wrap in with Royce here on Mackie and Judd's Score North YouTube channel.